Okay, so good morning, guys. Thank you for joining this session, and especially after the grand party yesterday. Great that you guys survived, came for this great session. You guys care about backup. So I am Shivam. I am the principal program manager. I am from the product group based out of India. I have two of my colleagues with me, Reed Purvis. He is the data center specialist. And we have Stephen Budo. He is the principal solution architect at Vigilant IT. And he's going to actually present a real customer case study and talk about some of the value props, how much cost savings he got from, you know, after using the Azure backup. So without further ado, let me start. And when you guys leave the room at the end of the session, I want you to get these three key takeaways. First, how is Azure backup differentiated? It's cost effective. I'll talk about the architecture. How is our approach different from some of the competitors? And also, how you get seamless protection across private and public clouds. So the focus of the entire session is going to be on that. We have a detailed session on IaaS, Azure IaaS VM backups. Reed and I are going to present. It's immediately after the next one.
In the same room, session. So?
In room number 6.
No, is it room 6? I thought it was here.
This is 7.
It's so here, 7.
Yeah, this is 7.
That wasn't well organized.
Yeah. Okay, so what is hybrid cloud? So it's like a cloud computing environment where you have workloads running on-premises, you have workloads running in private cloud, the public cloud, and you need orchestration, the central orchestration. Could be anywhere, but that's what you need. So as IT pros, you want to make sure that when you write the applications, they should be, you should be able to deploy that in any cloud, whether it is private cloud or public cloud. But that's not a good definition. I think Dilbert explains really well what is hybrid cloud. By the way, this was my understanding before I joined the team, the hybrid cloud backup team.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that, little bit of fun. You guys would have seen Brad Anderson talk about the operations management suite in the keynote. And he talked about that whether you have any application running in any public cloud, whether it is Amazon or Azure or, you know, running in Rackspace, or whether you have Windows Server, Linux, whatever it is, you actually get the management, the orchestration from one place. And that's what the OMS is all about. So actually, think about this as system center in the cloud. And guess what? The backup and disaster recovery, Azure backup and Azure site recovery. These are the two key services in the operations management suite. And if you look at all the use cases, it's not just backup and DR, because Azure is not yet another data center. It's like a platform where you can send the data, let's say, once, and then you can enable a lot of use cases. You want to do analytics, you want to use it for dev test purposes, you want to have archiving, the long-term solution, long-term retention. All of that is possible leveraging the public cloud. That's the power of Azure. So what is today's backup strategy? I mean, if you talk to the corporations, the backup admins, most of the companies follow the 3-2-1 rule. This rule says that companies should have 3 copies of data on 2 different media, and the media is generally disk and the tapes, and at least 1 copy for offsite for the DR or compliance reasons. And that offsite copy is typically tapes. Reed, you want to add something?
I was going to ask who follows that now.
The 3-2-1 rule.
So everyone else who doesn't,
most
obviously,
of
yeah, kind of at risk, right?
So what do you have? So you have the first copy for operational backup or operational recovery. So if you have, let's say, the fat finger delete, you have the operating system corruptions, all of this, you need to get the data immediately from the disk, right? But after that, you have the secondary backups, which are primarily residing on tapes. And whenever you want to get it back, you actually go, whether you go to Iron Mountain or somewhere else, you get it back. So this is for DR and compliance reasons. So what does it mean? You have a lot of expensive storage disks on-prem. You have the tape infrastructure. You need to actually manage across the two sites. And then there are off-site backup challenges because sometimes you have another data center just for the disaster recovery purposes. So let me pause here and ask a quick question. How many of you use system-centered DPM today? Wow, it's like 40% of the audience.
Who was first to put their hand up?
I think this guy. Yeah.
No, but
which size of shirt do you want? I saw you behind you, the hat.
Large?
Yep.
Okay.
We'll start to give these out. Here you go.
So it looks like...
fantastic.
So great. Second question. I don't know whether you give the T-shirt. How many of you use Azure Backup today?
Oh, that's definitely...
I think that guy at the back. Like, you're way at the back. What's your size?
Medium.
Medium. Okay. So I think roughly the same. I mean, maybe the number is the same, like roughly 30 to 40%. How many of you have heard about Azure Backup Server, a feature of Azure Backup? Wow, there are at least 6-7 hands I see, you know, that you guys know about Azure Backup Server, which is a feature of Azure Backup. So I talk about it in greater detail. So what are the benefits actually of cloud in the backup strategy? So at least you guys are thinking about moving to cloud. Is that correct? Right? Yeah, I see a lot of head nods. So what does it give you? I mean, all the public cloud vendors, they are buying capacity in bulk. So they get economies of scale. So it actually lowers your capital expenditure. You buy something in bulk, you get that. And also the operational expenditure means you need to have the backup admins and, you know, you need to actually go manage across this. Your management TCO is very high with the current solutions. So going forward with leveraging cloud, you actually can lower your operational expenditure. And replacing the tapes is one of the great use cases, because I hear anytime I talk to some enterprises, they always say, hey guys, you know, I have the data on tapes, but whenever I try to restore it, either the restores don't work or the tape doesn't have the data, so you need to send it back, and you know, it takes time. The RTO is very, very high with the tapes. There is a report, Gartner report, I'll give a reference of that, which actually talks about that companies should start using cloud for the long-term retention and how much benefits you get from that. So I'll show you a report from Gartner. So with that, I think every backup vendor, every storage vendor has some cloud story today, or you know, and the first story is, this is I call the approach one, where they think cloud is like a storage target. It is yet another endpoint. So the way you are writing the data on tapes, you are just writing to cloud, but there is no intelligence there. In order to recover something, to get an item back from the data, your whole intelligence is still residing on-premise. So you just send the data to cloud and retrieve the full backups. So the downside of this is, anytime you need even a single file back, you need to get the entire data back on-prem. The second approach, which is better than the first one, is about running your backup software in the IaaS VM. So the way you used to run on-premise, any backup software you run on-prem, now you're running in the public cloud. So you don't need to buy the compute here, the storage here, you are running in the cloud. So what are the downsides of this? Every time you run a VM in the public cloud, you pay for that compute. You need to pay for that. So even though you get rid of your hardware, you are still paying for compute because it's running somewhere else. Any questions here?
I was going to say, is there any people that are doing this now with another vendor? Someone, Commvault, yeah. I mean, they do that?
I see three,
Apsure.
Two, three.
Sorry?
Apsure.
Apsure.
Apsure, okay. Yep.
Yeah. So, okay, so how much, like, you pay a lot of money for that compute?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Do you run that machine 24/7, or do you shut up and turn off and turn it on? 24/7.
24/7, okay,
right.
So I'll come to the costing of that, and also, there are network costs associated with that because you run in your customer subscription, right? So anytime there is, you take the data out to the on-premise, you need to pay for the egress cost, for the network cost.
Quite often those are costs that they don't actually factor in until you actually set it up, right? So, oh geez, I paid X amount for the software. What's the...
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. So everywhere you have seen that, you know, Microsoft has been talking about the cloud first, mobile first. So let me explain what does cloud first mean for in terms of backup. So what it means is we have created a first-class SaaS application. You can say backup as a service with Azure Backup. And what does it give you? Obviously, it gives you low apex, OPEX, and CAPEX, but there is no egress cost for retrieval. And I was actually at the Microsoft booth, and two customers came to me. And when I told them you don't need to pay for restores, they were very surprised because they have been backing up, but they have never restored. So they thought they need to pay to get the data back. So I think I want to emphasize the fact that with this SaaS-based approach, you don't need to pay even a single penny for the restore. And we don't, by the way, get the entire data back. We get only the data you are looking for. Go ahead.
You mean like other people's net, like the... So,
You don't need to pay because it is the multi-tenanted service, you know, which is running in with the Azure account, not in your customer subscription. So you don't need to pay for that.
Yeah. So obviously, if you have an ISP or something that charges you for that data transfer, right? But we don't include the cost of the express route, but it would come across the public peering.
So some of the benefits with this approach: unlimited scale. So I mean, cloud is all about, you know, getting like pay as you go, and you get the illusion of infinity in terms of compute, storage, all that. But what I mean by unlimited scale is that think about a feature like deduplication. If let's say you are backing up all the data to Azure, and if I give you a global deduplication across your sites, as the SaaS application, I will give you the feature. It might be a premium feature, you pay for that, but just think about how much compute cost it will be if you had to run on your own, because deduplication is very, very compute intensive operation. So I can build a feature and give it to you guys to use, but you don't need to worry about running more compute, more storage, all of that. Last but not the least, it's about single pane of glass. So, I mean, if you look at the trend, most companies are going to be in the hybrid cloud kind of space, at least in the foreseeable future. At least for next decade, you will see, you will have some infrastructure on-prem, you will have something on the public cloud, you will have something in the private cloud. So right now, you need to go to different places for managing these sites. So the idea is to build a central management in Azure. You can say, I want it on-prem. That's a different story. But we think with the kind of, you know, the benefits that Tenet's cloud has, it is always better to have the central management.
So Shivam, on that point, let me just ask a question, because as a devil's advocate, shouldn't it be single pane of glasses? I mean, there's lots of these panes, and we see them, right? You've got SCOM and Virtual Machine Manager, and now OMS, which has a single pane of glass and stuff. I mean, how true is that relative?
So that is correct. I mean, ideally, everything will converge into one. It will become like the OMS, the way I talked about. That's the operations management suite, so that you can monitor the entire infrastructure.
Yep.
And backup is just one component of that.
Okay.
Quick question related to that. How does that work towards a subscription in terms of relationship? Is that a one-to-one from a subscription, or is that one-to-many?
In terms of what?
Like an Azure subscription.
Yep. So it's a SaaS, it's a software as a service, right? So the backup as a service, you get access to it from whatever subscription you want,
okay,
right?
So
but you can't cross regions, and what else can some of those things, right? So you have to make sure that you're backing it up within that region or that region set.
Yeah, I think it is called zone.
Zone.
And like, for example, Australia is in zone 2, right? So as long as you continue to be in that zone, you don't need to pay for all those egress kind of costs.
So, for instance, as a good example, if you're backing up something in Sydney, you can back it up to Melbourne or vice versa. But
if you've got multiple subscriptions,
yep,
and the multiple subscriptions go to one SaaS application.
So you see that SaaS application from wherever you want. That's right. Do you see the same virtual machines and stuff across that? On the IaaS backup, which we're going to talk about in the next session, no, they're in separate... lists and separate access, right? Because you'd have to have permissions for it. But from on-premises...
Yeah. I think his question is more on the role-based access control, if I'm not wrong. You have multiple subscriptions, and you want to see it at one place. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that is the feature actually we'll be working on right now. It is per subscription, But that is exactly what we want to enable.
Sure.
For example, if you are in a branch office, head office kind of mode, the branch office guy might want to see the data only in the branch office, but there might be a super admin who might see the data across that. So this is the feature actually which is being built right now.
So I think single pane of glass, as we said, is a vision. It's certainly we're working towards it, but it's...
And we'll be delivering in phases. The whole idea of this is the software as a service is you get the base service first and then keep working on the incremental features. And that is why you see, every month, you see some or the other things from the Azure backup. The way we have built the features in last 1 year, it has been an incremental approach.
Was that a medium or a large?
That was a great question.
It was a great question.
Yeah.
Last medium.
Okay.
Last medium.
So this is actually, we were talking to one of the analysts, and he also agrees that, these are the three different approaches for leveraging cloud. He calls it good, better, and best. And he says this is the best approach. But we wanted to compare the approach number two, where you run the backup software in the ISVM, and the best approach. And if you just go one by one, if you are running, let's say, for example, the App Assure this guy talked about. So if you have A4 VM, it is limited by how many disks you can attach to the VM. So 16 disks of 1 terabyte each means 16 terabyte. So if you protect, let's say, 20 terabytes of data, you need to spin up another IaaS A4 VM, right? And for each VM, you roughly pay $530 or roughly $700 per month. So that's the kind of compute you need to pay today with this approach. Here with Azure Backup, that is why I say we have taken a different approach. So you get like unlimited storage, you get the illusion of infinity, and the compute is already included. You don't need to worry about that. And data transfer also, I talked about, it's a multi-tenanted service. So that's the benefit. Now, this is like, think about a hybrid cloud environment. So you have maybe the branch offices here, right? I think, this one works, okay. So you might have, like, let's say, file folders, file servers, backing up directly to Azure. You don't have any on-prem storage here. You can directly do that, file folder backups. Here you can have head office, the enterprises, which might have either System Center DPM, or you can have the Azure backup server, which is for SMB, the small and medium business segment. And this is a disk to cloud, D2D2C approach, sending the data to the same service. And you might also have some infrastructure running in Azure IaaS, because, for example, the branch infrastructure, you may not have any of that. You can just move it to cloud. So all of that at one place.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yep. All the data we send to Azure Backup, whenever it leaves your boundary, it is encrypted. It's fully secured.
Yeah.
We encrypt the data before we send it out. It is the AES 256 encryption.
So
it is
wipe it from your Azure.
Nobody else can do that because you have the keys. So you have the passphrase or the key which resides with you. It is never stored in Azure. I'll show you, when I show the demo, I'll show you that passphrase. You have to supply to restore. Okay.
So don't keep your secure encryption key with your other passwords, right?
So with this, by the way, we had all the key tenets in our mind. Like you need to have the security. We know that customers care about the encryption, the compression, the savings, all of that. Okay. So very quick, I think I covered most of that. But a quick recap on the customer scenarios. This is the enterprise backup, like a head office, where you want to use actually cloud for, as tape replacement. You want to minimize your local storage footprint. Want to get central management. The next one is about branch office. For example, I was talking to one of the Australian customers over the booth with 800 stores. They want to do only disk-to-disk backup right now. And another customer, PCL Constructions, the largest construction company in Canada. They have some branch offices, construction sites in Australia, and they have like 140 sites, and they have already realized the value of Azure Backup. They have already started using that, and they see large savings. And what they say, earlier they used to send the data from branch office to the head office. They say, hey, I don't want to use that. It's for my mission critical workloads. I use the WAN pipe, send data directly from branch office to Azure. So they are deploying the solution right now. This is about Azure IaaS VMs. So as I said, you can just back it up. The beauty of this is that there are no customer resources needed for this. absolutely no customer resources for this. So you get the fabric-level protection, and this is exactly our next topic, the next session. Client protection.
Yeah. So just to repeat the question for the microphone,
the,
I think.
The question is, can you, if let's say if you don't have a good connection, can you send the data? It's like about the offline initial replication. Can you send the data through some other process, not rely on the network? So we have a feature called offline initial replication. This uses the Azure import in the background. What it means is you can write your data onto the disks, and those disks will be physically shipped to the Azure data center. That's the feature we already have in the product.
Yeah, so the product team support, just to be very clear about it, the product team supports that in places around the world where Azure import export's available. Currently, it's not available in Australia, but I have several customers that are on about and ask this, and that feature is coming to Australia.
Coming soon.
I'm not allowed to announce the time frame, but we're counting the days. Yeah?
Yes.
For your question, is this extra large?
Yep.
Thank you. Good.
So, yeah. So on the client protection to Azure, even though most of the companies mandate that you need to have the client protection, for example, this is my laptop, it has to be protected, only 9 to 10% of the companies follow that. And it what it requires is that your data has to be obviously encrypted. They don't want to have the on-premise storage footprint to back it up. And one of the key tenets they need is the self-serve backup and recovery. So what? Let me just do one thing. I actually am already protecting my laptop, and by the way, I think only 40% knew about Azure Backup. So let me do one thing. Actually, this is very important. Let's say if I'm new to Azure Backup, what do I do? So first thing you say, Azure Backup, get started. Okay? You see the first link. You see what all you need to do to try it out. You first create an Azure subscription, either using credit card or you might be the enterprise agreement customer. You set up the backup vault, and what it means is you go to the portal, which is manage.windowsazure.com, say new.
Who's not seen this portal? If you've been in any sessions to this whole conference, you've got to see this portal, right? So.
Okay. So. The new portal?
Yeah.
So.
The look is different.
Exactly. It is the Ibiza-based experience. You have the blades kind of thing. Are you familiar with that? I mean, so that's coming next. Most of the guys are using this right now. So I'm just showing you what is available. And then we will actually have the support for even for like ARM-based Azure IaaS VMs and the experience there. So here, the way you do is, first of all, you need to create a backup vault. Right? This is like a container. So you go recovery services. I can say backup vault, quick create. I can say ignite. I can create. So if you see all the regions here, there are like, I think 20 regions which are listed. In Australia, we have two of them, east and southeast. I can go create a vault. So while it is creating the vault, let me just show you what happens next. You create the vault, right? And after that, you can register the servers to it. For example, I can have here, if you see, there are two options, Windows Server and Azure Virtual Machines. So I just create one backup vault in this subscription. I can register my Windows client, the laptop. I can have the Azure IaaS VMs. I can also have Azure Backup Server. So I just registered three of them. The last one which you see is nothing but my laptop, where I'm protecting the data direct to cloud. So let me switch to this. I downloaded the agent onto my laptop, and I started protecting a folder which had my Ignite deck. And actually, this is like a true story that once I actually deleted some of the slides, and I wanted to go back to the previous presentation because it was like a collaboration across three of us, and I deleted some slides, I had to go back. So what I did, if you see here in the jobs, it shows you all the backup and recovery jobs. So you can see the job completed, it actually succeeded. So I kept backing up, so this recovery also happened a couple of times. Once the backup failed, so you can go to the alert and see why did it fail. So you have the monitoring also in the agent right now. It is about getting started, by the way. just getting familiar with that. Go ahead.
How many people here have MSDN accounts? Fantastic.
Wow.
So guess what?
All of them.
This is perfect if you're developing something, you're testing something, you want to play around. Back up your laptop, right? Straightforward.
Yeah.
You have $100, $150, $200 of Azure credit every month. This is a great way to, you know, provide your personal protection for that MSDN subscription, right?
And basically, you get a feel of, you know, how this whole Azure backup works, how easy it is to set up, how easy it is to backup and recover. So I go actually try to recover this. So I want to recover this. So I can say search for files rather than browsing it, right? So I'll search for my Ignite deck. So it asks for the volume information. So right now, what it does is it gets the metadata from Azure. All it wants to know that what was I protecting so far. So it gets, I was protecting some folder in C colon. It actually shows me the ones in the bold. All these are recovery points. So like, for example, let's say I want to get it from a previous copy, 19th, 4 p.m. I just go to next. I can search for the folder. Okay, so here it comes up, the Ignite Australia deck. And I can say original location, either I can restore to that, but I would prefer to have another location. I don't want to screw up my new deck, which has some new slides.
Not right now.
Right? Not now, it's done. So I go to some other folder and say recover to maybe some other folder like recovery, okay? So now you see, this was like 8 megabyte deck, and I'll recover it. So it's that simple. I backed it up, I'm recovering it. So while it is going on, I'll show you the previous recovery which I had. So it actually follows the same folder. I had kept it, Ignite Australia, and here you go. So the first one I got on 18th of them when I recovered the deck. Okay, make sense? Go ahead. Sorry? It works Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10, all of them. Yes. Okay.
So yeah, another question here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what if you want to restore the whole machine? Can you restore, like, can you back up the whole machine and restore the whole machine?
Yeah, you can do the entire, let's say if I have C colon, D colon, whatever folders but you want. I mean, you want to do
it,
you can
about,
do it.
Are you talking about
absolutely
bare metal restores?
Yeah.
Great question. I am coming to that Azure backup server. Excellent.
We're
yes
going to talk.
What's the size?
There's medium or there's large and extra large. Is there a small there?
Okay. So. It can do. The Azure backup server can do the bare metal as well. To Azure, yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Fantastic.
So these are the new features. If you see, that's what I meant by, you know, kind of shipping features, incremental features on like on a monthly basis. So this we shipped just last month, and many people are not yet aware of the Azure backup server.
There's a question up front here.
Yeah.
Can you choose where your backup data goes? So some of our customers' data can't leave Australia.
Yep.
So if we do backups, do they stay in Australia?
Absolutely. If you choose the backup vault, wherever you create the backup
yes
vault is where it will stay. Okay,
yeah.
So when you create the backup vault
in
Australia East or Australia Southeast,
yeah,
you can then specify two things, whether it's a locally redundant storage or geo-redundant. And the geo-redundant, well, then it's actually replicated to the other Australian region, right?
Yeah.
And so you'll then get 6 copies of it effectively, or we keep 6 copies in case anything happens behind the scenes. You see one, you only pay for one, but we protect it.
Yeah. Okay, I think everybody is aware of question here? Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, how much manual intervention is required in setting up the backup agent? And if you've got a dozen plus servers that you might deploy this to, is there a method of easily pushing it to multiple machines at once?
Do you use something like Config Manager or something?
We're actually on Symantec at the moment.
Right. Go ahead.
You could potentially centralize that through DBM at that point.
Yeah.
Use DBM to back up your servers. And DBM becomes your central location to ship everything off to Azure.
But from the agent, that can be installed on whatever tools you're using to install
right
today. You download the agent and just and
yeah,
whatever tool you want today. If you wanted to pull it using, you know, a centralized location and have a group policy or something like that, or you know, whatever
it's
tool
MSI,
you.
MSI, so you can deploy it to whatever.
So it's MSI.
Yeah.
Okay, another question.
Once you've done this, how do you manage the backup policy for every agent?
So, okay, so I just showed you a very simple version how to protect the laptop, but I think if you're talking about the server, I think, is your question on the server or on the laptop side? So great question. So for the clients, actually, we don't have the full management right now, as I said, because we want to have the central management in Azure, where you can actually go and push all the policies. But right now, we are focusing more on the server side of things. For example, whether you are protecting your SQL servers, Exchange, or SharePoint, right? And DPM is the one stop shop or one tool which actually does that today.
Yeah, so if you want a large kind of collection for on-premises capability, then what we recommend is to use Data Protection Manager and not sure 100% what licenses are for the client side, but there's a client portion of that. You can then do that and then have that protected up to the cloud, right? So that process is how we recommend for more enterprise environments. Azure backup server is really meant for a mid-market or SMB space, and it's really an attempt for Microsoft to help customers that are not active System Center users, you know, to see value and to sort of help them introduce back into some of our products.
Okay, so very quick on the long-term retention. The data is growing exponentially. I think all of us are aware of that. Like, there is a prediction that IDC report, there is an IDC report which says that there will be 44 zettabyte of data by next decade. Zettabyte is like 21 zeros, right? So think about how much data will be produced. It is going to come from the IoT, Internet of Things, and it is going to be produced. Most of the data is going to be unstructured, but just think the pain point for the backup admins. Your backup strategies need to evolve to make sure that you are able to handle that much of data, right? So for 7 days or 30 days, you can say, oh, most restores happen from the disk, so I'm fine, you know? Yeah, you can backup the data on the disk. But what is the cloud opportunity? It is the big one which you see. The data grows exponentially, and you can actually protect the data for up to 99 years. By the way, somebody asked me a very interesting question yesterday, one of the customers. Why 99, not 100, not 150? So that was an interesting thing. So the reason we said 99, because in the healthcare space, we assume that the average life expectancy is roughly 90 years, and you need to have the record for 9 more years, even after you die, right? So, you know, at least I wouldn't be there, you know, when you die to restore.
You and I will not be there to recover.
So that's the reason for 99. But yeah, to be very candid, we don't know about 99 years. We know that we have given the capability. But one customer who is already using it for 35 years, and that's the construction company I talked about, the PCL Constructions. They have the branch offices, and they are in the construction space, so they need to preserve the drawings, et cetera, for 35 years. So we have a real use case where a customer is using it for 35 years.
Is there anybody here that has a requirement for longer than 99 years? Okay, thank you.
Nobody, okay.
Good.
So that was a good question yesterday.
That's right.
T-shirt.
Okay.
No one put their hand up, no T-shirt, awesome.
Yeah. So this is the Gartner report I talked about, right, which actually tells you this was, I think this is a Gartner ID number, and I think it got published sometime in Feb, March last year. It actually shows you the numbers also, that how much cloud will be cheaper. This report is available on the Azure Backup site. If you go get started, link wherever I showed you, this report is there. So it's not from us, it's from Gartner. Go through it, please. One good point they make is that it's the tape media, that is very inexpensive. That costs nothing. But the point is that when you try to restore things, the management, the TCO around that, that's what actually, you know, increases the cost of tapes. And that's where cloud helps you. Like, for example, most backup vendors, they write the full copies on tapes, right, on a monthly basis. But when we send the data to cloud, Azure Backup, it is incremental. Only the data which is changed is being sent to the cloud. So you don't need to even kind of do a dedupe when you send the data, because you are only sending the changed blocks, right? So this is like, I will show you a demo later, but this is like a screen. All it shows is the richness, that even if I send the data on a daily basis to the cloud, look at the retention policies. So for example, you can have daily retention policy for n number of days. You can actually say, I want weekly retention points, monthly, yearly, and all kind of combinations. I want the monthly one to be Saturday of last week. Those kind of richness we have. What time do you need? How many months do you need? And this one can go up to 99. Okay? And we talked about the 20 different regions. We have these two regions in Australia, in East Victoria and New South Wales.
But just on that point, where I've seen a lot of customer interest, and I have a customer in New South Wales that's doing this, and that is backing up their overseas locations to their various regions as well, which is, again, a pretty big value add, so they can back up US to US. Or
is there a bandwidth calculator?
For sending the data to Azure, we do have a calculator. Let me get back to you on this
it's
one.
It's going to depend mainly
we have the pricing
delta,
calculator.
Right, on
yeah.
the delta that you produce. Yeah. Note that the data that has been sent over is compressed, compressed quite heavily.
Yeah.
You get a good note, 70%.
Yeah.
So 30% gain on your sending over the data. So.
By
and
the, yeah, and
so
yeah.
Calculate.
Yeah, by the way, one thing, the calculation is easy. I tell you, where do we struggle? So we know the front-end data which needs to be protected. Let's say you have 16 TB of file server, whatever size you have. Do you know the churn of that? How much data is being churned on a daily basis? Do you know that? Like 2%, 5%, what is the churn on a daily basis? If you know that, then it is a very simple calculation. I tell you how. Let me take a very simple example. I had 1 terabyte of data. I got 2% churn on a daily basis, which is roughly, I think, 20 GB. And for 20 GB to be sent on a daily basis, right, within a day, because we generally have the backup SLAs, and you want to back up this data in a day, if you divide it by 86,400 seconds, you actually will know how much Mbps pipe do you need. Because you have encrypted the data, you have compressed it also. So you can say 30% compression. So if you take 70% of that 20 GB divided by the number of seconds in a day, you will just know how much Mbps pipe you need. It's a very simple calculation, by the way.
Another question here as
yeah.
well.
In terms of the backup window, you were mentioning that you want to ship it inside 24 hours. Does the backup replication up to the cloud commence immediately when the backup job kicks off, or does it wait for the backup job to be completed locally and then it ships the delta?
So just want to repeat the question for the...
Yeah. So the question is that when we talk about the 24-hour SLA, when does it actually start sending the data? I mean, is it when you actually set it? So we have, if you, let me quickly show you because, then.
Fantastic question.
Yeah.
Love it.
Great question. Let me show you from the DPM. So there is a way you can actually define the time when you want to start backing up the data, right? So let me clarify while Reid is checking. I'll show you in this session also. You can specify the times when you want to start backing up. So let's say if I say I want to start backups at 10 p.m. in the night, the backup starts at that time. Now you can say, oh, I want to have only 8-hour backup window. It means whatever data you transfer in 8 hours, that is done. And you don't want to go beyond that, right? So you can throttle it also. You can say, oh, I want to use only 50% of the network bandwidth which is available. So we have those knobs, those controls in the product.
So we'll do
but you can go up to 24 hours.
Back up your data locally
yeah.
and then follow that with a transfer up to the client.
The question is more relating around the backup window to the replication window. And some softwares will back up locally, for example.
Yep. Correct.
Got it.
The alternative is the moment the thing starts to back up and it's identified a delta somewhere in the job, does it ship that delta immediately or does it wait till it's got everything and then ships it? That's the question because that changes the amount of bandwidth you use because you don't have 24 hours available to you to ship data. You
Correct.
Have 16.
Absolutely.
So
you don't want it to. You.
Changes a whole lot of things for those of us that are pulling levers in the service provider. And
So generally what happens is actually in this product, in the D2D2C world, only first you write the data to the disk, then only the cloud backup starts. So if you have 8 hours for the disk backup, then you have 16 hours for the cloud backup. So
yeah,
as soon as the disk backup finishes, you can start the cloud. Yeah, exactly. It's not 24 hours for the cloud. Exactly. You're right. Okay, so with this, I can actually, I can show that.
Large.
Yeah.
Large.
Okay, so with this, I talked about Azure Backup Server. This is the new capability we have added in Azure Backup, which actually allows you to protect all kind of workloads, whether you have SQL servers, Exchange servers, SharePoint forms, Hyper-V VMs, all of that are supported from Azure Backup Server. It's a feature of Azure Backup. It means, let's say if you are a SMB customer, small and medium business, you do not have the System Center license, you still want to protect this, right? Because we had file folders so far. With this capability, all you need to do is you can start protecting your data to Azure, and you actually get the benefits of Azure Backup pricing. But with this, I'll hand it over to Reid, who is going to actually talk about this Azure Backup Server in detail.
Absolutely, thank you. So the Azure Backup Server basically is a customized and cut down version of a data protection manager. So I think I saw maybe a little bit of hands earlier on. Who's actually running data protection manager today? Okay, so all the features you love in data protection manager, except for a couple of key things, is that it doesn't connect with SCALM or it doesn't connect with virtual machine manager directly, and it doesn't back up to tape. Yeah, so it's cloud connected. It's meant to be cloud connected. The key portion of that. So it really provides a capability to have your on-site volume still for backing up, so you get your disk capability. You end up having the ability to have those protections, the same consistency between your on-premises capability as well as your cloud, and obviously the network capability. So it provides that area there. What happened there with the pointer? Sorry? Slide? Try that. Go forward. So how is this came about? And I think this is a really big change for Microsoft to do this. You know, there's a lot of people within Microsoft that said, hold on a second here, this is sort of maybe diminishing the value of our System Center bits, right? Because we're including this not, you don't buy a license of Azure Backup Server. You actually go and you download it, it's free of charge, and then what happens is you pay per virtual machine protected, right? And you'll see the licensing here in a second. But if you want to use Azure Backup Service and server, and its code name was Venus, anyone know why its code name was Venus? I know you're not allowed to answer. Let me tell you a kind of an inside thing. You'll see that when you download the actual agent for the client, you know, when you're doing a direct server backup or a direct client, it was called the Mars agent, the Microsoft Azure Recovery Services agent. So what's besides Mars? Venus. That's a true story. So you basically take the DPM server and you subtract out some of the capabilities that you might, you know, we didn't want to diminish the value of System Center and stuff, and you end up with Azure Backup. And Azure Backup is a great capability for small to medium-sized organizations, people that want a cost-effective area. If you have DPM, they work the same way. Literally, you'll see the screens are identical. So how does Azure Backup Server work? Fundamentally, you go and you sign up, you download the software, it's the same MSI, you can install it on premises, you can install it in a virtual machine, it comes with the same SQL server capability that you need to have in there, it'll back up workloads, and then from there, you register and configure it, and then you register and configure the vault, which I think is what is gonna happen and show you a little bit about that stuff. And then basically, away you go, you protect it. And so you have kind of these two choices. If you want to back up directly to the cloud, you download the Mars agent and basically install that. And those machines will just back up directly to Azure backup. Or if you want to use the Azure Backup Server, then it's a great solution for your branch offices or your a little bit more bigger environments. And if you want to come back to some of the questions we had earlier on about you know, distributing the agents and doing a bit more management capability, that's where System Center comes in, because it fits in with those other areas of System Center.
Can I just ask you a question about
Sorry? Correct, absolutely. So the question was, if you assume that you can, using local disk, which it supports and in fact requires, you have a recovery point on that disk, yes, absolutely. And you can, obviously, the number of space or amount of space you have on that, you can actually set your recovery points and how many there are on premises before they get shipped, you know, or at, so that they are on premises, so those quick restores, and then obviously cloud is for retention. Does it do dedupe? The short answer is we actually support the dedupe on the underlying storage. So if you actually think about Microsoft's current strategy on this, is that the dedupe is not built into DPM, it's built into the underlying storage. So we support scale-out file services as well as local and disk or server-based storage, and that then gets deduped. And you would actually put the data stores in for this or the volumes in VHDs or VHDX on-premise, which are sit on that dedupe storage.
So does the data that gets backed up to the cloud is actually
deduped
already?
It gets deduped on-prem, and then what happens is only the incremental changes go up. So it doesn't dedupe in terms of the actual data across hosts here, and then it actually dedupes on the underlying platform, and then what happens is that incremental changes go to the Azure.
Yeah, but just to answer your question, the data which goes to the cloud is not deduplicated because of the technology we are using right now. Since it is just the incremental change, as Reed said, you just send the incremental changes because I don't think you will get any deduplication benefits on just the changed blocks.
There's a
but
diminishing returns on that.
The key there is it's blocks, not bots.
It's blocks.
That's where everybody gets confused. And they deduplicate.
Right. Yes.
Bots.
Right.
We're really doing the change block tracking.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. So the pricing model, just to quickly go through this, because I think this is one of a revolutionary thing. Did anyone try Azure Backup 9, 10 months ago? Yeah? Anyone remember what that old pricing was? Yeah. Yeah. It was expensive. and so Stefan will talk a little bit more about this. But basically, what we do is actually pay per virtual machine. So there's a cost per protected instance. And you either pay, if it's less, you know, up to 50 gigabytes, it's $5 a month. Up to 500 gigabytes, it's $10 a month. And then for every 500 gigabytes after that, it's $10 a month. This is the target. So let's say you're having a file server and it's 49 megabytes, or gigabytes, a small file server at that, but it's 49 megabytes. That's $5. If it tips over to 51, yeah, heaven forbid, then it's going to be $10 a month. And then it goes all the way up to 400, you know, 499 gigabytes, it's $10 a month. At 501 gigabytes, it's $20 a month, all the way up to a terabyte, and then for every 500 gig. Yeah? And that goes into paying for, obviously, the component of the software, because you haven't paid for the software. Also includes the restore cost. All that stuff is included in that area. And then what you pay for on top of that, I know it's a small little bit, is actually whatever you store, whatever the bytes you put onto our storage. So let's say that you wanted, you know, you've got your DPM server, or just say Azure Backup server, and it's got all of the local storage, yeah? None of that storage, that's all your cost, right? You've built that server, you've installed it, no problem. What you do then pay for whatever is actually in Azure itself, yeah? And the rates obviously here are whatever it is. If you want to have locally redundant storage in a region, which is what most customers do, you said, I think, Shiva, about 30% use GRS and about 70% use, or is that?
No, I think it was the reverse.
Reverse.
People still use GRS because so they want to get 6 copies of data. But any backup vendor or backup application you think can beat this kind of pricing, here you don't need to pay any licensing cost.
There's no
everything is like pay as you go.
Absolutely.
So all we are doing is we are just incrementally charging for the backup, the management, and storage. Obviously, you need to pay as you go. So any vendor which comes to your mind which can beat this pricing, because the feedback I'm getting from the SMB guys is, guys, this is like dirt cheap.
Absolutely.
We just shipped it last month.
And then obviously covering the same thing. There's no charges for restores, outbound data, storage transactions, or the software. So
yeah,
here's
a question.
Just
It is the actual data. So let's say even if I have a large VM, I created 127 GB kind of disk, but the actual data is stored is only, let's say, 30 GB. You pay only $5. Okay. So it is about...
So it's not on the volume size.
That,
it's
that doesn't help me get me. And how does it identify? Does it, if I've said in my protection policy, go to this folder, that folder, that folder, that folder, and it adds up the total of that, it says, right, that comes to...
Whatever GPM identified has been backed up.
Right.
So
right.
Whatever DPM sees, so you might have a 500 gig server there, and on the DPM server it lands at as a 30 gig backup. This is what you're going to pay for.
Yeah, and this is actually per protected server. So let's say if on the same server you have SQL and something else, let's say files also, all the data which is protected from this server together, wherever it falls, you just need to pay for that. It's not per data source pricing. It's not that if I have, let's say, 100 databases on the same SQL server, I'm paying 100 into 5. No, that's not the case.
That seems fairly rare, or fairly generous, don't you think?
I'm not arguing the pricing.
Okay.
Understand the pricing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Number is triggered.
Yep.
Is that how does that
yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So we're gonna you're gonna do a backup or a demo, right?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Hello. Yeah. So let me show you. So I have what I have done is I have created two Venus servers. So on the first one.
Yeah, still calls it Venus because
I still call it Venus. It's a short, simple, concise name.
ABS.
Yeah. So if you see the protection policy here, let me just zoom in a little bit. Okay. So I have one SQL database which I'm protecting from this Azure backup server. And the policy here is that I'm backing up this data on disk for 5 days. With 15-minute synchronization. By the way, this is another thing when I talk to customers, they don't know that we have this kind of fidelity in DPM or in Azure Backup Server, that you can protect your SQL databases every 15 minutes. On cloud, we have 180 days of retention right now, and the frequency is that you pretty much back up on like Sunday to Saturday every day at 9 p.m., right? So, let me just go to the management to answer that question, which was about showing the network throttling. I thought let me show you that first. So when you actually register this Venus server or Azure backup server to Azure, you will see a bunch of options. So I can give the proxy server. I could be using that. I'll give the vault credential, which you download from there. It is valid for 48 hours. OK, so this one, right? This answers your question, gentlemen. You asked about that, how do you do that? So whenever you back up to cloud, I can specify that during the work hours, and you can define the work hours at the bottom, I can say use 256 kbps, but during the non-work hours, during the night, I can use like 1 mbps.
We got about 10 minutes or 5 to 10 minutes for your demo, and then we need to wrap up.
Yeah, right. So I showed you protection of SQL. You can protect Hyper-V. You can protect SharePoint forms, as I said. But let's say for some reason your Venus server crashes or your site goes down. You can say, oh, all the data is in the cloud. How can I get it back? Is there a way? So what we have done is it is actually called an alternate DPM server recovery, which works with System Center DPM, which also works with Azure Backup Server. So I can always spin up a new Azure Backup Server and retrieve the data from the other backup server. So what I'll do is very quickly, this is another server. Assume that first server has died. You know, the site is down. I can go to the recovery. You see this tiny little thing, the add external DPM? So I click on this. Provide the vault credential, the same credentials. And here, you will see all the machines which are listed with the same vault are listed here, right? So I'll pick the first server, because that site is down, and give the passphrase. So I have the passphrase. This is where I said that the keys are with you, not in Azure, right?
Take
just to answer
now.
Your question. You can take this. Yeah. So what it is trying to do is, okay, so you see this, it has, it will, so from the second backup server. I can see the first one. I can start drilling down into this. So you see this first server. You will see both the data sources. Okay. And then you can see the database here. You will see all the recovery points. Yeah, you see the recovery points in the black bold, right? So I can pick one and just say recover. Right click and say recover. So now you can recover the data which was protected from another Azure backup server. So even if that site goes down, I can recover it from the cloud on the other server, right? So anyway, I mean, in interest of time, I'm not going through the whole thing. Maybe let me at least start this. Yeah, so I can use pick some volume very quickly and just leave it there. So this is how you recover the data from another server. Okay, yeah, that's it. So it will take some time, but it will recover in a minute or so. So in the meantime, go ahead. Sorry? Question is to recover the whole server? Yeah, you can do that. So the way I showed you the SQL, the SharePoint, the Exchange, you can also do the bare metal recovery. You can do system state. Think about it as system center DPM. Whatever it can do, you can also do with Azure backup server. So you can backup the entire machine. You can recover the entire machine. If you want to recover a file, you can recover just a file from cloud. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. In the interest of time, one more question, then we need to probably finish the slides. Oh, okay.
Well, then I'll give it to you. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So the SharePoint would be exactly the same as DPM. Correct.
Yeah.
Can we hold the questions? We're just going to get done the rest of it, and then we'll...
Yeah. I'm just skipping a couple of slides in interest of time because Stephen
is
waiting. You guys need to hear the real case study. This is the offline initial replication some gentleman asked here.
Yep.
So you have a way to actually send the data, write the data onto the disk, send it to the Azure data center. This is about our heterogeneous story. We started this journey sometime back. So you see the VMware also. We have already started protecting the workloads, like whether you are running SQL, Exchange, SharePoint, the same workloads on a VMware platform. We actually protect. If you're running Linux, we always say you should back up the Linux VMs. You get the file system consistency with Linux VMs. We don't have the in-guest backup of Linux right now, and the VMware host backup will come later. We are working on that already. Okay? So this is like a quick recap, whatever we said. I'm not going to repeat it now. Azure IS VMs, we have a session immediately after that. I suggest you guys please attend that if you're interested. And with that, I'll hand it over to, let me skip some of the slides. Oh, I think we had more questions than we thought. There's too much interest, which is good. Okay, so with this, I hand it over to Mr. Stephen to talk about the Vigilant ID.
I got about 30 seconds left in the session, so it's going to be a very, very quick customer feedback. Now, if you want more info, please come and see me. I'll be at the speaker lounge.
Microphone.
That's all right. I think I'm loud enough anyway. We are a system integrator, right? So we've got, aside from the system integration, we run our systems on a cloud platform. That's a quick overview of what we use currently. So you've got a quick idea of what we back up and how we're going to back it, we used to back it up and how we're backing it up today. So 6 clusters, 28 physical machines, blah, blah, blah. I'll skip the physical components. Now, the past, what we used to do. So we've got a primary data center, we still have today, with IPv clusters, and we used to back that up with a physical DPM onto disk, right? This was then synchronized daily to a secondary location with the same principle, so DPM backup onto disk. Kept 30 days on the primary side, kept 60 days on the secondary side. From there, we used to back that up weekly to tape for historical purposes, right? So We consider tape backup as really historical. So you want to keep the history up to 7 years, of course, you know, legal requirements. So from there, again, what we did is vault that to an off-site third-party supplier, right? Now, the weekly transport would come in a manual process. So a library, pick up the tape, give that to a driver, he ships it off and puts it in a vault. Now, the challenges that we faced with that, the first one was really high cost, right? Because there's a lot of hidden costs that people don't realize when you talk about backup to tape, right? You might think, oh, all I have is my tape, my medias. You know, I pay $60, I get 5 terabytes, sweet. You've got a lot more costs associated with that, invisible cost. Cost of the library that takes in your rack, in your data center. You pay per U, you've got cost. You got electricity, you got maintenance. I mean, the library will cost you at least $1,000 a year just on maintenance. And it may not sound like a lot of money, but you compound that together and you end up with a lot of hidden costs, like maintenance costs. I just said that. engineering costs. People, you need someone to take care of that library, to load up that library with those tapes. You need someone to go order those tapes when you're going to run out, someone to keep an eye on that. So there's a lot of cost here. Sorry, I'm going to accelerate a little bit. Handling and transport, I've just mentioned that really. But in addition to people going and grabbing these things, you gotta take care of your vaulting. So you really need a transport company to securely get your tape out to the vault. Backup failures. Now, this to us was the most important cost. We were incurring a lot of failures to tape. I'm not saying the entire backup was failing, but there was components of it that you'd come on the Monday morning and bang, the backup has failed again. You spend a good hour, 2 hours trying to fix the thing, restart the backup during the day, production hours, etc. So backup failures was a big one. Backwards compatibility. Now, keeping your backups for 99 years is great, but imagine if today you had backups from... and I think we've got a customer here that does that from 1995. You know, the technology back then was so outdated that today you'd have to keep on a shelf an old backup tape drive just to restore these things, right? So that's an additional cost again. So what we went to is Azure Backup. So, oh yeah, bad, sorry. so what we did today is this. We, first of all, we virtualize DPM. So our backup, our DPM servers are all virtual servers. The main reason for that is portability. So you end up with a backup system running on hardware that you can move to new hardware after 2 years, 3 years, whatever you depreciate your hardware for. So it's really mobile and very proficient that way. We still keep the daily replication so that we end up with the multiple location copy on 30 days and 60 days. In addition to that, we put the data onto a scale-out file server. This allows us to dedupe the data. Now, there alone, we saw a reduction of 70% of the space taken by backup. 70%. That is huge in terms of cost. I mean, you're looking at 70% less disk that you need just to store your backup. It's incredible. From there, bang, weekly to DPM. So we completely replaced our tape systems with Azure, right? We do weekly backup. We keep every single weekly backup on Azure for 7 years. So we decided not to go with the monthly, yearly. We just keep every week, just might as well. What that means to us today is cost reduction. 38% in the first month in reduction compared to tape. My business partner is a bit of a number freak, really. and he helped me develop this spreadsheet where we plugged in our numbers and it gave us a good indication on where the cost savings were compared to the tape versus in the cloud, right? And we came up with this 34% monthly reduction in cost, right? It's incredible when you actually plug in those numbers to see where you're at in terms of cost. Now, 6 months ago, it was a different story, as Reid mentioned. Microsoft were asking to pay 38 cents per gigabyte. So that's now down to 2.8 cents, I think.
Yep.
The next thing is, I don't even check backups anymore. I know it's bad, but I know it works. That's the thing. Every Monday morning, we'd come in the office and we'd go, all right, let's check backup. That translated, we've got a very efficient timesheet system, so I can tell you precisely that in the last 2 years prior to this system, we spent 34 days, 24/7, 34 days of time on backup, right? On fixing things with backup, 34 days. So that's a huge cost over 2 years, right? That's massive. So that now, today, is down to
Now he takes a holiday every year.
That's right, that's right. That's 34 days at 24 hours a day, not even 8 hours. Today, from time to time, remember, I go, oh yeah, I better check backups, and it's all green ticks all the way. So very, very sweet. Low maintenance, that sits into that, right? As soon as you've got successful backups, your maintenance cost just drops down drastically. So that's a big one. High compression, I think we mentioned earlier that the bandwidth that you take to actually transfer your data, it compresses well. So you gain about 30% of whatever the delta you want to send over. And that's an important component. People come to us and go, well, I can get at some competitor a backup for like 0.1 of a cent a gig. That's true. But you're not going to send a delta. You're going to send your entire data over to that competitor, right? Amazon. But and that data, in the end, will be there and will cost you pretty much as what the delta will cost you in Azure. But they're going to charge you a bomb when you want to recover it, right? And they're going to take a week to restore it. So that's a big one. High compression, fast recovery. Just meant damn. I'm not synchronized. Anyway. Here is another hidden cost. How long does it take one of your engineers to go, this customer, he wants a mailbox restored from 2 months ago. Okay, so you're going to assign the case to somebody to go and recover the tape from your vaulting, get the tape back in your data center, put it into the library, get it restored. How much time does that take an engineer compared to, I'm just going to log on DPM and just go, yeah, restore from 2 months ago. Done, and you're finished, right? So that makes for a very, very happy customer. I've run through very, very quickly because we run out of time. There's a lot more to say about this type of system and how I would recommend it hands down, right? So please come see me if you've got any questions in a real scenario on how to do these things. I'd be very happy to answer any questions.
So the question is about scale and where does it, where is our limits and boundaries?
Yeah.
I'm going to hand that over to Shivam to see where he says it.
So actually on the private cloud side, I don't know if you guys remember this, we protect CPS, the cloud platform system, which is about like protecting 8,000 virtual machines on a 24 node cluster. That is the kind of scale we have delivered in DPM on disk. Earlier, if you remember, like just 2 years back, if you just remind it, we were not even able to protect maybe like 100 plus VMs at a scale. So today, actually, there is a blog which is already out, which talks about how we backup CPS. So today, I can claim we are the only backup vendors, at least, who does the best Hyper-V backup at scale. And that's the published numbers. You can go check it out. And I have not seen any of these numbers from any of the competitors right now.
And I guess I would just say this is relative, and from a field, a Microsoft field perspective, relative to the other areas of System Center stuff, I see the DPM team really going from strength to strength. I mean, granted, past editions might not have been the shining light of beacons that we'd expect, but I think the 2012 R2 and the roadmap they have for these things that they've got have really been pretty fantastic. So,
and one more number actually I wanted to share. In the Azure backup, in just last 1 year, we have 10x growth in the data we get in Azure. And on the System Center DPM customers, there are roughly 70% of the customers who were using tapes, right? And 30% of that have already moved to Azure Backup or are they are seriously evaluating Azure Backup. 30% of those tape customers, which is good number.
So
but I wanted to.
The first thing that's going to go is your underlying storage.
Yep.
First thing that's going to start struggling is the storage, not DPM. So you'll need to expand your storage as you scale up more than really the DPM system.
So I got we got one or two more questions.
Yeah.
We've got to wrap up
because
we got another 3 minutes and then basically other people are going to want in the room.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you use ExpressRoute, then the backup's going to go over that.
Yes.
At what point would you recommend using
ExpressRoute
other than
I mean, ExpressRoute functionally works with DPM. I need to check with you that how much data do you want to send? Do you already have ExpressRoute you want to send it? Or? So I think it is going back to his question, right? That how much data, like you need to talk about the incremental data. How much data do you need to send on a daily basis that requires Azure ExpressRoute? That is the first question, right? Because let's say if you have a 100 Mbps pipe, right? And your changes, you know, the blocks which have changed are not too much. You may not even need ExpressRoute. But if you have that, you can leverage it.
Yeah, fundamentally, you have to realize that Azure Backup and that cloud capability is a publicly IP'd and connected service, right? And so it doesn't matter whether you send it over the internet, it's encrypted, or you send it over ExpressRoute, it's still encrypted because you're using the public peering channel. So from that perspective, all we see ExpressRoute as a more direct path to the same location. Other than that, if you have a good peering with Microsoft in that basis and you're not taking a circular route around the internet, then it should be your internet connections are fine. And in fact, again, we see customers going over the internet that can be faster because they get a little bit more bandwidth that way.
There is a question there.
Is there an agent for other non-Microsoft OSes?
So we don't have that. Like, for example, let's say if you want to protect Linux in guest, right, we don't have the agent for that. Today, the way we say that, since most of the companies are virtualizing their infrastructures, we say you can back up the virtual machine if you're running Linux, and we give the file system consistency for that.
So
the other
line
you can,
Hyper-V.
Yeah.
Yes.
So certainly
yeah.
it's a very popular
yeah.
request, and I know the product team has taken that type of stuff under
yes.
strong consideration.
Yes.
So the agent-based backup will work for anywhere that sits for a Windows server. Obviously, Linux, we have the backup from a Hyper-V environment. And I think you guys are back at Ignite in 20 earlier
yes.
on in the year. It was announced that we are working on a VMware native
yeah.
backup capability.
Actually, you can see
we can't
this
make any
chapter also. This was the most interesting thing. By the way, what we did, actually, we wrote a book, e-book, which is free. And this is a very simple link to remember this, aka.ms/hybrid-backup-ebook. So you will see my name as well. I'm also the co-author. Three of my colleagues together, we wrote the book. Because the point was people said, hey, System Center DPM is like a dead product and nobody, we need the latest information. The data, the information we had on TechNet
very
was
good.
Not the latest. So we said, okay, let us write the best practices, the recommendations. And within 3 months of publishing this ebook, we saw more than 25,000 downloads of this book. So feel free, if you like it, any feedback, please give it to us. We will try to make it as current as possible. We actually, when we announced the VMware host level backup, we actually had a chapter, but the only thing is it has like only 2 pages with something blank saying that because we didn't have the capability, so we can go update as soon as this feature is available. So this is like new way of writing the book.
Yeah, so I think we're pretty
yeah.
much at time.
So, yeah, almost done. This is journey, leave it. Actually, this is the roadmap. You can go through it offline. We are going to protect ARM-based VMs. We are going to support premium storage and some of the DPM 2016 features. This is, okay, here are some resources. You know, you can go through them. If you need anything, feel free. Contact Reed Purvis, myself, Shivamji, Stephen for any help you need. And please go ahead and fill up the session evaluation if you'd
like.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you so much.